My prayer, as always, is that God's grace and his peace would be yours in Jesus' name. Now, maybe you don't remember. I know you cling to and pine on every word I speak. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that we are now in the church year in the season after Pentecost. The color up here is green. It's going to stay that way for quite a while. Green symbolizes life, and in the church specifically, life in Christ. Living in Christ. It's that part of the church year when we focus on how to live as a Christian in an unchristian world. Toward that end, this is the first of 10 messages, 10 sermons that I've put together, and each week I'm going to provide for you a list of questions. Those are really the foundation for what we'll study back in Bible study. If you care to kind of try to follow along and answer them during the sermon, I think most of the questions get answered by what's here, but it's just to kind of show you what kind of stuff we're going to be looking at back in Bible study. And if you haven't been coming for a while, or if you haven't ever come, this is a good one to jump into, because it's really just discovering really just the basic foundations of the Christian faith. And that's what this sermon is going to be about too. So if you got questions about anything we're talking about today, come on back and get some answers. But this first message is good news. God cares for you. That's important to know, that you are important to God. But how do we know? And how do we know what we know about God? Where do we learn who God is? The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky displays what his hands have made. One day tells a story to the next. One night shares knowledge with the next, without talking, without words, without their voices being heard." The heavens, the creation itself, declares the glory of God. The Bible also says what can be known about God is clear because he made it clear to them. From the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly observed in what he made. As a result, people have no excuse. These are interesting words. Can we know about God without the Bible? The Bible says, strangely enough, you can. There are some things we can know about God even if you've never read the Bible. You look at all of creation. You look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants and animals. You look at all of nature and you see the wonder of it. The deeper you look into it, the more complex and profound it becomes. Is there a God? The Bible says the fool in his heart says there is no God. See, even nature itself tells us something about God. There is a natural knowledge of God. In fact, God's law is written on our hearts. Not only does nature call out the truth of his existence, but our hearts, our spirit proclaims his truth. The Bible says it is shown that some requirements found in Moses' teachings, meaning in the law of God, are written on our hearts. Their consciences speak to them. Their thoughts accuse them on one occasion and defend them on another. This happens as they face the day when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge people's secret thoughts. He will use the good news, the gospel, that is being spread to make that judgment. So creation speaks of a creator. All that is around us, as well as we, God's most precious children, all speaks of a powerful creator. That much can be seen by any rational, reasonable, sane person. But that is not all there is to know about God. Looking at nature cannot tell you how much God loves you. Looking at nature can't tell you that God has forgiven you for any ways you have offended him, or even if you've offended him. Nature can't tell you how God has saved you, or even if he has. For that, you have to turn to one place and one place only. That book right there, God's Holy Word. In God's Word, God tells us about who God is. He tells us about what we're worth to Him and how He has saved us and forgiven us and called us His own children, whom He loves and cherishes. Our God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. You don't learn that from nature. We learn that from God's Word. Jesus Christ, God Himself, said at the end of Matthew, when telling us how to make people a child of God, as He was teaching Nicodemus being born from above, He tells, here's how you do it. He says, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me, so wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have commanded you. And remember that I am always with you until the end of time. That's what we learn from the Bible. So we learn who God is in part from God's creation and in part from God's Word. Through these things, we know all that we can know about God. There is nowhere else to go to learn about God. So that is our God. So what's He like? Is he a nice God? Is He an angry God? Is He a judgmental God? Is He a forgiving God? Well, listen to a few quotes from Scripture. We've got some Bible verses here. The first is, O Lord, You have been our refuge through every generation. Before the mountains were born, before You gave birth to the earth and the world, You were God. You are God from everlasting to everlasting. Next one is, I, the Lord, do not change. Another one, I am a God who is near. I am also a God who is far away, declares the Lord. No one can hide so that I cannot see Him, declares the Lord. I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. This one says, O Lord, You have examined me. You know me. You alone know when I sit down and when I get up. You read my thoughts from far away. You watch me when I travel and when I rest. You are familiar with all my ways. Even before there is a single word on my tongue, You know all about it. You are all around me, in front of me, and in back of me. You lay Your hand on me. Such knowledge is beyond my grasp. It is so high, I cannot reach it. Just one more. The Lord, a compassionate and merciful God, patient, always faithful, and ready to forgive. He continues to show His love to thousands of generations, forgiving wrong, disobedience, and sin. But also it says, He never lets the guilty go unpunished, punishing children and grandchildren for their parents' sins to the third and fourth generation. What is our God like? He's eternal. He has no beginning and He has no end. We learn that He is not fickle, with His mind always changing so that you can't know what He thinks or what He says. When God speaks, that is the truth, and it is the truth forever. He's consistent. He's stable. He's dependable. He is everywhere, all the time. There is no place you can run, there is no place you can hide, that God cannot find you. Which should bring fear to the unfaithful. But for us, the faithful, that should be profoundly great comfort. Because we can know that God will never abandon us, He will never leave us, and He can't lose us. He can't lose track of us or forget about us. In fact, not only does He know where we are, but our God knows who we are. He knows our innermost secret thoughts. There is nothing we can hide from Him. Nothing. There's nothing we can conceal. Nothing. Again, that should bring some trepidation and fear to the unfaithful, but for us, the faithful, that means he knows our weaknesses. He knows our regrets for past sins. He knows our struggle with things like doubt or unbelief. He knows all of that. He knows, and he gives us help, and he gives us aid in all of those things as we regularly dwell in reading and hearing his word. I guess one more thing, but and there's certainly plenty more that could be said about who our God is, but one thing we learn in Scripture is that God is desperate, desperate to forgive all who trust in him. But for those who would defiantly refuse to repent, there will be a reckoning. People really do, sadly, people really do go to hell every day. People also really do go to heaven every day. So understand, God is everywhere. God made everything. How did he do that? How did God make all this stuff? What power did he call on? What material did he use to construct all that is? Well, God used God to create all things. In the beginning, there was nothing. There was no dirt. There was no sky. There was no stars or moon or sun. There was nothing, really nothing. And then God said, "Let there be light." And then what happened? Well, there was light. But why? Because God said so. God used God to make all that is. He simply spoke it into existence. That is how all of creation was created. It was created. It was God, by the power of God, calling all things into existence. There is no one greater than he. He created everything, and he created it perfect and flawless and pure. Everything. He got it all ready. And then he came to the pinnacle, the very purpose for all that he made, us. And he made us differently. All of the plants, the animals, the dirt, the water, everything else, they were made by him for us. When God made us, he didn't just speak us into existence. He stooped down. He knelt in the dirt. He got his hands dirty. He formed us with his hands from the dust of the ground. And he made us in the image and likeness of God. We are eternal beings. There will never be a time in the future when you will not be. You will always be, forever into the future, like God. Unlike God, he had no beginning, but we have no end. You also have a free will. You can make up your own mind. You can choose to defy God and to reject God. And with all of the wonder that he made, still that's what we did. This God, perfect and holy and powerful and merciful, was ignored and defied by us. There was only one rule: don't eat from the one tree. That was it. But Adam and Eve, they thought they knew better. They thought that they could actually live without relying on God. And so they took a bite, because then we don't need to rely on God. We can take care of ourselves. It just doesn't seem like it's all that important, does it? I mean, it just doesn't seem like much. They just ate a piece of fruit. It might not even seem like much now. But that one act corrupted all of creation. In that one act, we were dead to God. We were eternally cut off from God and forever. They died the instant they took a bite. They were cut off forever. And that, quite frankly, should have been the end of the Bible. God said, don't, we did, we're dead, amen. That's what should have happened. But God couldn't endure the idea of being separated from his children forever. So God made a promise. That promise was, one would come to make all things new. One would come to save us and to make us alive again and alive for eternity again. So once again, you will always be forever into the future with God. Because of that one, those who believe are no longer dead to God and cut off from God are but his children once again. And now, God cares for us. He cares for us as we live through this life in a sinful world. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't just wind up the watch and set it down. He'll come back later and see how it's doing. He never abandons us. He doesn't expect us to figure out how we're supposed to get to him or to find our own way. That's not what he does. He's here. He leads us. He guides us along the narrow road that leads through that narrow gate into the wonder and the glory of heaven. And for that, we give him our thanks and our praise. This is the God in whom we believe. This is the God in whom we trust. And this is the God in whom we trust for our salvation. This is the God we worship. This is the God we praise. This is the Sovereign Lord Most High, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.